Open it up to page 886. Pew Bible, English one, 886, or you can go on your phone, make sure you put it in airplane mode, and scroll to the Bible app. Talking about Phil Tavlian, this is a Phil Tavlian tie. So not only does he help with podcasts and YouTube videos, but he shares the wealth on skinny ties, if you're looking for one. Anyway, that's a little commercial break, but open up your Bible. It's a short little letter that we are going to go through for the next 6 weeks, the letter to Titus from the Apostle Paul. Hear the word of the Lord from Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is the reading of the Lord. Praise be to God. I love when you meet a non-Armenian. I love when I meet a non-Armenian and I have to explain my name. And I say my name in English, obviously. Mike Mekradigian. And I never kind of give my middle name because they would look at it kind of going, I have no idea what I'm going to do with that. But even with Mekradigian. And then I say it in Armenian. This is what it actually is, fully. Mgrdich, Hovannes Mgrdichian. And they're just like, wow. Yeah, and I say, you know, my name means to baptize John the Baptist, basically, and Mgrdichian to baptize. Again, the word Mgrdel is in my name. They're like, wow, kind of God prophetic, can't you see, or something like that. I'm like, yeah, my grandfather was Mgrdichian, and I was trying to understand if we can bring that parallel to American, to English, and I don't know if that would work, Michaelian or something. It just doesn't work, but amongst Armenians, it's funny, you share your name, most people start to say, you know, where's your grandparents from? You know, and they start that trace, that ancestry of like, you know, are you from this area or that area? But most Armenian last names have some kind of connection to something. For example, their last name may be after the patron saint of Vartan, and so they could be Vartanian, right? Or some last names were because they were known for a particular characteristic in the village. Guzebeyukyan in Turkish, person with big eyes. Topalyan, someone who walked with a limp. Topal, right? Or, you know, the family name might be connected to what they did. Boyajian, they were painters, or Yergatian, they were metal workers in the village. And based on your ancestry, oh, you're the son of Hovannes, you're okay to hang out with, right? So based on your name was to trigger your identity, your integrity, the person who you were, you're okay. See, especially in the Armenian circles, your family name carries a particular weight amongst the community. Oh, you're so-and-so, you know, and we're not connected to the Kesapsi Mgrdichian people. Everybody always asks me, you know, but apparently those people are really cool to be with. And so I just say we're, you know, related somehow. But we have a particular identity with that. Nowadays, when you want to find out about someone, you Facebook stalk them, right? You kind of go on their Instagram or your Facebook and you kind of just start scrolling through. We scroll through the pictures, if they've given us what they do. And if we're a parent, you know, and we have teenager kids, I know you do this. I'm going to start doing this. We kind of go and look at, like, they're hanging out with so-and-so, and you kind of do that. But the funny thing with Facebook, this recent trend is people are posting their 10 years photo. Okay? So in 2009, they're taking a picture of 2009 and they're posting a picture of the 2019 and they're putting it up next to each other. I didn't want to go ahead and do that for you because you would look at my 2009 photo. Yeah. So anyway, so there, it's a really funny thing to see. And it's interesting because I like the ones where they post the 2009 and 2019 and they tell you the story of where they were and where they've been. And I love it when they share a little more than just like, oh, great, I've lost, you know, that much weight and all that stuff. So I'm going to flip this on you for a little bit. Let's say we were to take your 2029 picture. What would your 2029 picture be? What would it look like? What will you be known for in 2029? Better yet, what do you want to be known for? You see, there's two different questions. What will your 2029 person be? What will he or she say you should be doing now in anticipation of 2029? What will you be known for? See, the question, what do you want to be known for, the second one actually leads the first one. You see, the first one, you're kind of going, well, will they know me as like this loud, bald, you know, person who's just crazy and blah, 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 and has two kids? What, you know, or will they say this about me in 2029? And if we're honest with each other, maybe something pops up that we're kind of not too proud about. Well, you know, maybe he's just so X, or you're so Y. What do you want to be known for allows us to dream, to correct, to learn, to say, okay, I want to be known for this in 10 years. It starts revealing in us what we value. Then those goals and those priorities are set. We can also ask the question, not just personal family units. We can ask the question, as we see in the context for today, as a community, what do we want as FAPC to be known for in 10 years? What do you want your family to be known for? And all that's honestly, does God have a part in that? Or is it just something like, hey, financial security, personal well-being, blah, 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 and God is sort of like outside of this question. But does God have a part in this? So we're shifting our focus for the next 6 weeks on this short letter to Titus. Titus is written from the Apostle Paul and is grouped into what they call the pastoral epistles. So 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, they get that general wording of the pastoral epistles. And literally, the Apostle Paul is passing on wisdom to two young leaders, Timothy and Titus. And if you come back next week, you see in verse 5 the intention of the letter, and we're going to go unpack the good life for the next 6 weeks. But for now, we see in this introduction, actually, the Apostle Paul's vision. The Apostle Paul's what he wants to be known for. The Apostle Paul's, this is my purpose in life. This is my direction. I want to be known for this in this short of two verses or three verses. And he wants, I think, I think he indirectly, as he's writing it to Titus, who's in Crete, and you're all like, I want a vacation there, but not really at that time of the time, right? He's telling Titus in Crete that I think indirectly, I want you to indirectly have this kind of purpose and vision, and we're going to see it right now. The first is to grow the faith in the Christians. You see here, it says, a servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. I want you to help cultivate and grow in the faith. I like the way a different version has, the Amplified version says, to stimulate and promote the faith of God's people. To stimulate. I love that. You know, I thought about that word. It's like, it's to promote. It's to prompt. It's to prod. It's to motivate. It's to kindle the faith of the believers. It's to get up and say, hey, let's go. We got to grow in our faith, to stimulate and motivate and to lead them. Apostle Paul is telling Titus, do that. This is what I am called to do. And his desire, he goes to every different church that he's got, and he's planted, and he's done that, but he doesn't have the capability of continually caring, so he's put it upon Titus. Now, that's not our job. I'm not saying get up and do that. Go into Visalia and Madeira and into Clovis and grow the faith. Maybe that's not your calling, but our calling is to grow in our faith. Is that a desire of yours? Would the 2029 person of you say, hey, I saw that you put a desire in your heart to grow in your faith, and you made decision after decision after decision based on that desire? I believe our faith is tested quite often, probably daily, right? Let's be real for a second. I mean, we're real right now, but let's be real for a second. Don't we avoid those kinds of faith testing moments? You know, the guy coming down the road, or at the water cooler, or at the business, or your neighbor across the street, who conveniently Jesus puts in your path and says, conveniently, you know that he's walking down the street and you know they don't know Jesus, and you're going, God, this is a test of faith. I know you're kind of pushing me to say something, but you know what? We're just going to kind of go the other side of the road here. Or let me just grab something to do. There's a test of a faith there. Or there's a test where God is poking maybe at when you've got made too many zeros in the bank. But we got to rationalize that there might be the need for a rainy day. We don't have the faith that God will take care of us. So we actually play it safe. God can't take care of me in the moment of this. God gives and God allows moments to grow in our faith. I'm not saying God is calling you by faith to go and do some crazy things, but what he does do is he constantly checks to see how much you're in with him. Several years back, my niece and nephew came to visit us from the East Coast, and it was, I think, April. And for the East Coast people, when you come out to, you know, California, they're like, whoa! There's like sunny skies, and we have a pool. And my nephew comes in, and he's so excited. He's like, you know, Uncle Mungo, can we go swimming? I'm going, it's April. If you actually know Fresno people, they don't get into, like, the water's got to be, like, I don't know, 95 degrees. It's got to be 115, then you get in the water. I'm like, you know, he's like, no, can we go in? Can we go in? I'm like, are you crazy? And so I was like, okay, you know, here's, you know, I got to be the fun, adventurous uncle, right? So it's like, okay, Hato, let's go in. We get outside. Mind you, I didn't get into my bathing suit. I just was like, well, hey, I'm going in my jeans and t-shirt. It's cold. And he's like, he gets his shirt off. He's all ready to go. I'm like, what are you doing? So I kind of do this with your foot, right? Like, just kind of. I mean, it's not like ice cold like right now. And it's not like it's warm water when in the summertime. I'm like, hey, how are you sure you want to do this? Yeah, I want to do this. I'm like, so. Yep, brave old Mugo grabbed the hold, and I was like, okay, Tamar, you got to take a picture. And we jumped into the deep end, not even like work our way into the shallow end and kind of get our body adjusted. We jumped full in. You see, we often do that with God. We often kind of go, ooh, it's cold. It's a season of, you know what? Everything is good. I don't need to put my life into that kind of, you know what, test. Later. We rationalize. We play it safe. You see, what I didn't get with my nephew, and I did get when I jumped, is the fact that there's this freedom to just jump in and experience the laughter coming from him. They kind of all are looking at like, there's no way, why would you ever do that? But the experience of seeing his inexpressible joy that was shown on that picture was just absolutely indescribable. And this is what we do with God. We kind of go, ugh,
Okay, you get a little bit of my toe this week. Okay, you get a little bit of my leg this week. You know what? My faith will be stretched a little. Okay, I'll put both legs in with you because I believe you've got my good interests. Do we ever just say, I'm all yours. I'm all in. The question has to be is, what fear is preventing you from jumping fully in and believing in God? I guarantee, okay, I can't say I guarantee, 99.9% sure, I guarantee if you jump in with God fully, the more our faith in God will grow. Second way to grow is by the knowledge of truth. It says this growing in knowledge of truth should lead, should cultivate, should produce godliness. You see, it's not just about the mental sharpening of our minds of knowing facts, but it should spur in us a growth. It's not just, hey, I go to 15 Bible studies. I know the shortest verse in the Bible. I know this and I know that. No, it's not just about mental capacity, but this knowledge is actually leading to godliness. There's proof. It's not just saying I believe in the doctrine of creation, original sin, eschatology. That's another way of saying Jesus' return, that he died for our sins, and that he rules over everything. It's not just saying I believe in those things. It's actually a knowledge that makes a difference in everyday affairs, relationships, and actions. I was cringing. I heard a preacher several weeks ago preach on Adam and Eve. And they preached on the Adam and Eve passage where it's after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit. And after eating the fruit, God comes out to pronounce the judgment on Adam and Eve and on the serpent. And the preacher goes, this is the judgment to the serpent. And then he turns, the preacher says, but it's not the Adam and Eve's fault. What? It's not your fault, Adam and Eve. It's his fault. Come again? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? What you just did is you just said Jesus is not necessary to die. There is no sin, right? Because if it's not Adam and Eve's fault for their disobedience, there's nothing. It's like, are you kidding? You just went and said the serpent is at fault. Okay, yeah, the serpent tempted you and they disobeyed. There's sin. We are sinful people. Yes, we are sinful people. No, we're not sinful. If we are not sinful people, we got to have a conversation later, people. But they disobeyed. You see, the knowledge of the truth is that it leads to godliness. If Adam and Eve didn't sin, there is no sin. Therefore, Jesus is not necessary to die for our sin. Do you see how something so clear and easy to believe in can sway our lifestyle? I'm crying for the people that heard that because that is not true. You see, but we need to know the truth because it leads us to godliness. See, if Adam and Eve didn't sin and we don't have sin, then when we die, we can't be in God's presence because we have sin and he is holy. He is without sin. Actually, when we get into his presence, we perish. We cannot be in his presence without sin being paid for. Can't just know this stuff without it actually helping grow in holiness. The growth in faith and knowledge is only possible. It rests on the hope of eternal life. This is where it says the hope of eternal life is a guarantee. Y'all are good buyers. You know, you always look for the good deal. You always got to make sure satisfaction guaranteed, right, in your good deal. And here's, I'm going to tell you, a guaranteed satisfaction. I like the way he says, and a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. And then he says, well, God doesn't lie about it. Promise before time. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul is saying, it's a guarantee because God doesn't lie. It was appointed before time, and this is the season. And look, it rests on that Jesus died and resurrected. Can you? And then the Apostle Paul knows this. You're kind of going, why does he say God doesn't lie? Did you know what the Cretans or people from Crete were known for?
They were liars. They were known to be deceptive people. Imagine, you know, someone walked around and said, you know, Mugardichan, he's known to be a liar. Can you imagine the kind of perception that they would say of you? See, if you believe in Jesus, meaning you've repented, realized that your sin is on the cross, and you want to live with him forever, as Bhadvi Greg preached in Armenian, you're different. You're different. You walk out of this place, you're different. You have the hope of eternal life in you. Amen? Right? You are different because you know that whatever is happening to me now is not the end. Because I said, I believe in Jesus, I believe what he's done for me on the cross, then I know for a fact that whatever happens to me now, and as hard as it could be, right? Medically difficult, challenges at work, I know it's different because I'm going to see Jesus in heaven and all of it is all gone. Because there's going to be no more crying, there's going to be no more pain, there's going to be nothing, and I'm going to enjoy heaven for eternity. I am different when I go out of these doors. Do people notice the son of so-and-so from the village of so-and-so that you are different because your hope rests on eternal life? I know, it's 12:30. No, just kidding. 12:15. This is why the gospel is so key. This is why we build our life on the hope of eternal life. Because Jesus, if Jesus doesn't die and isn't resurrected, that's pointless. I don't know why you would sit here and listen to this crazy preacher. It's pointless. You have more productive things to do. You got to get ready for work. You got to make sure the kids' stuff is ready. You have X amount of things. You're probably doing it right now on your phones. Hey, he's still crazy going preach until 12:30. I'm going to just do what I want to do because it's pointless. But if Jesus has died and has been resurrected, then there's a hope of eternal life. Then this life, what I want to be known for is the one who lives for him and not for myself. And I hope that that's your focus too, because the good life is focused on growing in godliness. Okay, last illustration. You're 20 days into 2019. How many of you actually sat down and put New Year's resolutions down? Yes, thank you, Chris, for participating. I love it, appreciate it. That means you're awake, you're paying attention, good. Right? 20 days into your New Year's resolutions. And maybe you kind of didn't want to put your hand up because your New Year's resolutions are kind of slacking off. It's okay. And if you're anything like me, maybe you're not like me, but if you're like me, I like have like, oh, I want to do this. You know, Tamar kind of gets like overwhelmed by me. I'm like, oh, Tamar, I want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I want to do this. I want to run a half marathon again. I want to run. She's like, dude, slow down. Pick one thing. Pick three things. We all have this desire to be successful in different ways. We want to pass on to our next generation the good name, the good life, the good legacy. And so if our focus is to grow in our godliness, then what are two to three things we'll do to help begin this growth process? What are two to three things? Now, you're going to need to remember some things. If you truly want to grow in your godliness, by the time 2029 comes around, what are two to three things you're going to do to help grow in that godliness? Now, three things I want to tell you before you do that. Kind of going, all right, well, you know, I want to read the Bible in a year. I want to, share my faith with 10 people in a year, okay? All right, or I want to, you know, share my faith with my ex, whatever it is, right? Three things that you need to know. You're going to need a cheerleader. You're going to need someone encouraging you, challenging you, helping fuel, stimulate, prompt, motivate you in what you've set as a goal. Okay? And you need those people. And actually, it's funny. The Apostle Paul is talking to Titus. You need That's what Apostle Paul's doing. You need people like Titus. You need leadership, elders, deacons, pastors to come alongside you and say, hey, how's that goal going? Hey, are we doing great? Are we doing great? Right? Cheerleader? Come on, people. Right? Right? Okay. But the question is, will you give them freedom to do it? Because today's congregational meeting is we're going to nominate, we're going to accept elders and deacons for the 2019 and on. And so will we give freedom of elders and deacons and pastors to help motivate, stimulate, grow in our faith? Number two, if you're like me, I'm sweating. This isn't a sprint. Number two, if whatever goal you put down in growing in godliness, this isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. And some of us here are marathon runners, right? I'm like, you guys are crazy doing 26 miles. You know, at 13, I wanted to die. Right? Right? It's not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So whatever you've set in place in terms of growing in godliness, baby steps. You see, if you haven't read the Bible and you only read the Bible when the preacher gets up to read the Bible, don't go saying, I'm going to read four chapters a day. And I'm not saying you can't do it or you're not ambitious enough to do it. I'm just encouraging you, prompting, stimulating, right? Just to do, okay, a chapter a day. It's okay, God still loves you, right? So just small. Hey, if you don't pray 20 minutes a day, start with 3 minutes a day. A minute a day, but just make the point to keep going. Number three, you got to constantly remember and reflect on what God has done in your life. Because I promise you, okay, again, 99% sure that God is going to test your faith. You see, in 2019, maybe you're going to face a test of faith. In 2020, you're going to face a test of faith. In 2021, you're going to be tested by your faith. And you're going to go, wow, you carried me in 2019. You carried me in 2020. You're going to carry me in 2021. The godliness is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to cultivate. Why? So you got to constantly remember, God, you did what you did on the cross for me. Then I believe what you're going to do for me in 2019. And I believe what you're going to do for me in 2020. The good life is focused on growing in godliness. What's your 2029 picture going to be like? What are you going to be known for? What's it going to look like? Not physically, I'm not going to go there, right? You know? The good life is focused on growing in godliness. Would you please stand for the benediction?